Your subject here this morning, please turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We've been on this series of the born again experience or the new birth. John chapter 3. And my message this morning, the love of God and the second birth. The love of God and the second birth are the love of God and the born again experience. Reading from John chapter 3. Just want to read a few verses. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then verse 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Then verse 7, Jesus speaking again, Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. This is Christ's teaching on you must be born again. But finally, verse 16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the blessing, the joy, the goodness, the mercy, and the grace of God in our gathering this morning. Lord God, we can sing the songs of Zion with joy as we did this morning. We can testify. We can break bread. We can remember your death. We can rejoice in the power of your blood. Lord God, we're not just playing a religious game, but my God, we're here as those who have experienced the new birth. Lord God, we know what it is to be washed from our sin, to have the life of God come in, to have an experience of Christ that changes us. My God, we have encountered the love of Christ that was shed abroad in our hearts, and we love you this morning. Please speak to us as we minister your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. My message this morning, the love of God and the second birth. You see, in John chapter 3, as we come to it, this is personal evangelism. And in this series, over these weeks, we're going to deal with how Christ evangelized sinners. And we need to realize this is probably the first incident of Christ sitting evangelizing a sinner, where it's just him and them, nobody else, not the crowd, not preaching on a hillside, not teaching to the multitudes, but here he is with a individual. No one else is there that we know of. And we see Christ dealing with an individual. Everything that we read here in John chapter 3 down to verse 21 is everything he says to an individual. He wasn't preaching it abroad. He was saying it to one man, and that man was Nicodemus. Look at him sitting here with this man, Nicodemus, saying, You must be born again. You need to be born of the Spirit. Of the water. You need a second birth. You need an experience from heaven. You need your life changed. You need your nature changed. Your religion won't do it. It won't make you ready for the kingdom of God. You can't even see it. Never mind enter into it. You're an outcast. All your religion has left you on the doorstep. But look at him. He says you must be born again. Last week, we dealt with how Christ said, Whosoever believeth in me shall be saved. You see, Christ is dealing with an individual. He says, You must be born again. There's no other way. You have to be. It's absolutely necessary. You must believe. What am I going to do? Just wait for this wind to blow? No. Believe on Jesus. Put your faith in him. Believe that he died on the cross for you. But here, notice that Christ also preached John 3:16 to Nicodemus. He didn't preach it in a sermon. He didn't keep his best message or the best verse in the Bible for the great crowds. You know, I told you years ago how I only had one message at a time. And I turned up at the meeting to preach, and there's only three ladies there. And I went, man, this is my only message. This is my best message. This is all I have. And I thought, well, there's three. I'll wait to maybe next Wednesday night. Maybe there'll be seven in the meeting. Well, the Lord convicted my heart. He said, how dare you? So I said, well, I'm going to empty my pockets. I'm going to preach everything I have. I'm going to preach my only sermon. And you know what? He's kept filling me ever since. You better give away what God gives you. Empty your pockets. Amen. I've preached all I know. I don't have another sermon. The Lord will give you another sermon, I assure you. But notice here, Christ kept one of his best of sermons for an individual, for one sinner, for a religious man. Some of us would say, huh, they're just religious, I'm not going to waste my time with them. But Christ sat with this man late at night. I'm sure the master, you know Christ, he would have went to bed early, got up early. The Bible says it was his custom to rise early. Sometimes he stayed up all night long praying. But it was his custom to rise early in the morning. So I can assure you, being late at night with a sinner, he must be saying, man, I would love to be in that bed. But you know what? I'm going to spend it with this sinner. I'm going to preach about the love of God to this sinner. What a message he preached to this man. And also says in 1 John 4 and 7, everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Saints, never separate the love of God from the new birth or the born again experience. When Christ begins to preach, you must be born again. He then brings you to the love of God. God loves you. What a statement. When you want men to be born again, preach the love of God. Tell them there's a God in heaven who loves them and who died for them. Begin to show them the reality of this very thing. You know, that's what we have in John 3 and 16. Christ preached, you must be born again. One of the greatest commands he ever gave. But what a wonderful promise. God so loved you, a sinner. He preached both of these things in a remarkable way. Now, John 3:16, I want you to come to it here for a second as we deal with it. Because this is what Christ dealt with. In trying to show a man he needed to be born again. Notice that John 3:16 is a remarkable verse. Many have said it is the greatest verse in the Bible. Many men have preached hundreds, I mean preachers, have preached hundreds of messages from John 3:16. When I preached on the street, I preached more from John 3:16 than any other verse in the entire Bible. I have known preachers who have preached for 50 years and they've preached more in John 3:16 than any other scripture in the entire Bible. Why would that be so? Well, it's been said of this verse, there's many truths held within it. In this one short verse, it is filled with truth. Not just one truth, many truths. In fact, all the main truths of the Bible are condensed into this one verse. In this one verse, you have the gospel in brief. Everything you need to know about the gospel is in this verse. It is the gospel in miniature. Or it's the gospel in brief. Or it's the gospel condensed. Or it's God's great plan from eternity to eternity condensed down into a few words. That's how large this one verse is. Or as one preacher once said, he said, John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell. There was a man about 500 years ago in the time of Queen Elizabeth of England. And he was famous for his writing, how he wrote and books that he wrote, or he copied books. Well, he actually claimed to have written the Bible so small in his own hand or by his own hand that he actually put it into the shell of a nut. And he actually presented it to the Queen and said, here is the entire Word of God in a nutshell. In other words, it is all condensed down. Well, that's what John 3:16 is. It takes all the great truths of the Bible. It takes all the revelation of God the Father. It takes the truth of Christ and what he done on the cross. It reveals what man is outside of Christ. And it brings it all to this little nutshell of a verse called John John 3:16. Saints, it is explosive. Within this little verse is dynamite. It can change your life. It can convict you of sin. It can reveal how God loves you. It shows you the consequence of rejecting the gospel. Or it shows you the power of what happens when you receive the gospel. It is a dynamic nutshell that you ought to carry in your pocket. Saints, you ought to know this first. You ought to consider this first. You ought to meditate on this first. When you wake up in the morning, you ought to quote it to yourself, preach it to yourself, or sing about it. But it is a dynamic nutshell, filled, compacted, dynamic in all of its fullness. And this, I believe, is one of the greatest truths behind one of the greatest commands. You must be born again. But as Christ deals with an individual and says, your religion is rejected. Your religion is outside. You have done many religious works and you are actually outside the kingdom of God. You're not in it. You're no closer to the kingdom of God. But since he didn't leave him there, he begins to preach John 3:16 and present it to a man who needed to be born again. Since this is the most life-changing truth. You can convince a sinner that there's a hell and we must preach on hell. And you can convince a sinner that they are a sinner and we must deal with sin. And you can call them to repentance. But if you don't reveal what is in John 3:16, you haven't preached the full gospel. It is all there in that verse. Can I break it open a little here for you so we can begin to look at this? I'm dealing with the effect of God's love in the new birth. How is God's love? How is God's great love connected to be born again? What does it have to do with a man being born again or having a second birth from heaven? Let me show you this verse in brief. First of all, in John 3:16, we have divine love. Look what it says, for God. For God so loved. This is divine love. It's not human love. It's not a love of this world. It's not a love of this earth. It's not normal, natural love. It's not love like a mother has for a child. It's not like a love that you would have for an animal. It's not a love that is amongst men. It's not the love you'd have for your friend. It's not the love that you have when someone does you good. You say, I love you so much. Yeah, I'm sure you do. It's not that sort of love. It is a divine love. This love in John 3:16, there's nothing of man in it. It is pure, undiluted, divine love for God. Please remember in this verse, it is God's perfect love. He is the source of this love. He is the beginning of this love. Without him, this love would not exist in this world. The love in this verse and the love of the Bible, it would not exist if there wasn't a God in heaven. He is the source of this love. That's where this love actually begins. It was this love that was so strong that it caused the Father to send his Son. That's the sort of love I'm talking to you about. It actually moved the Father towards you. What sort of love is this that would move God in heaven, who's perfect, who's holy, who there's no shadow of darkness and no changing within him? What would move his heart towards you, a sinner that hasn't even been created yet? It is the love of God. So notice first, it is divine love. Secondly, notice it's immeasurable love. For God so loved. This divine love is immeasurable love. In other words, you can't measure it. You can't fathom it. You can't find the end of it. You can't reach the top of it. It's too high. You can't find the bottom of it. It's too low. You can't dig under it. You can't walk around it. You cannot climb over it. Saints, I'm telling you about this love of God. You cannot get through it. You know, we used to sing in Sunday school. And we were singing it in the car coming in. God's love is so wonderful. I won't sing for your ear's sake, but we used to sing, it's so wide you can't get round it. It's so high you can't get over it.
Hallelujah.
It's so low you can't get under it. Saints, it's the immeasurable love. You cannot measure it. No human has ever measured the love of God. No Christian has experienced the fullness of this love. Nobody in this world has ever got to a place where they went, God's love has run out. I've reached the end. He can't love me anymore. Saints, this love in John 3:16, it's immeasurable. It is a deep, unfathomable love. Notice Christ is saying this. Isn't this Christ's sermon? He is saying, if one person ought to know what the love of God is, it is Christ. He said, for God so loved. Stop at that word so. What a powerful word. He so loved. What does that mean? He so loved. He so loved you. That is some love. A love that all of your sin, all of your rebellion, all of your anger, all of your idolatry, all of your disobedience couldn't stop. You couldn't run away from him. Was it saying the psalm? Make your bed in hell. I will be there. You cannot get away from me. I'll come banging on your door. You can backslide. You can rebel. You can have doubts. You can have fears. You can mess everything up. You'll find the love of God is immeasurable. Saints, when we look at John 3:16, we see a love that you cannot measure, you cannot comprehend with your natural mind. You cannot confine it to your understanding or even your experience. This love is greater than any of you have experienced in this room. Since you're going to have experiences in the future, and I hope this morning, of the love of God. And you know what? You're still only beginning. There is more. There is more. It is deeper. It is wider. It is higher than anything we imagine. But notice as well, it's not only divine love, an immeasurable love. It's unconditional love. For God so loved the world. The world. He loved all men. You know, some people teach you only loved a few or his elect or those who would believe. No, he even loved those who would reject him. Even those who would scorn him and reject him to their dying breath, he actually loved them. For God so loved the world, not just the church, he loved the world. That means he loved sinners. He loved the drunkard. He loved the rebel. You know, many years ago, D.L. Moody, that great preacher in America, and he was walking in the streets of Dublin with some other brothers. He'd been praying all night with young men. And he said to one of those preachers, "Now, brother, I want you to come and preach in my church in Chicago. I want you to come. You're a man of God. Will you come preach?" "I will. I will." Well, that brother went over and preached in his church in Chicago. And D.L. Moody was away preaching somewhere else. And he came home and the man had preached two nights and he was going to be preaching all week. And he said to his wife, "Well, how did the preacher get on?" "Oh, it was powerful. He's preached two nights. It was dynamic. It was amazing. But he doesn't preach like you." "What do you mean he doesn't preach like me?" Imagine a wife telling a preacher that. "There's a preacher in our church, but he doesn't preach like you." Says, "Well, he preaches God loves sinners." You see, D.L. Moody preached God hates sinners. God is angry with them all the day. And that is a truth in the Bible. It is there. But saints, don't miss John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And you know what D.L. Moody, he was upset over this. He's preaching his church, God hates the sinner. God is always angry with the sinner. Now this man comes into his pulpit and for two nights is preaching, for God so loved the world. And you know what? He went to the meeting that night, thought, I wonder what he's going to preach from. The preacher got up and said, turn to John 3 and verse 16, preached on it every night that week. And as he opened it up, D.L. Moody, after that man left, you know what he had displayed above his pulpit on the wall? Was God is love. That's what he got written up there. It totally radically changed D.L. Moody's ministry. And he no longer preached God hates the sinner. He preached God loves the sinner. Saints, the first man who ever preached that was a man called Jesus Christ. Son of Mary, born of a virgin from a little place called Nazareth. Here he is sitting with a man. Can you imagine speaking to this expert in the Bible? Nicodemus was an expert. He's a Bible teacher. He knows the whole Old Testament inside out. He knows all the books. He knows when they were written. He knows about the authors. He knows the history of Israel. He has taught every Bible in the Old Testament. He has memorized much of it. But here he actually is with Christ saying to him, "For God so loved the world." Nicodemus, you're involved with that. Can you imagine saying to Nicodemus, the religious man, the spiritual man, you're actually in this verse, you are a part of that world. God so loved you. The world, the sinner. Dean, do you know God loves you this morning? It's not only for those who are saved. It's not only those who have been changed. God loves you in a remarkable way. How do you know that God loves you? It's because the fourth thing, it's a sacrificial love. It's a divine love. It's immeasurable love. It's unconditional love. In other words, well, I'll only love you if you believe. No, he loves us when we're sinners. While we're yet sinners. You know, in Romans 5 and 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He only died for sinners. He so loved us. He so loved us that he died for sinners. It's unconditional love. He didn't say, you need to be something before I love you. You need to get saved before I love you. You need to stop sinning before I loved you. Oh no, this is a love that loved you when you were at your darkest point, your lowest point, your most rebellious and sinful point. He says, I loved you.
Hallelujah.
Do you know what Peter, when he seen the miracle in that boat, do you know what he done? He fell down.
Yeah.
And he says, depart from me. Depart from me. I'm an evil man. I'm a wicked man. I'm not right. I'm not what you are. Your love is too great. Your power is too great. Your grace is too remarkable. I'm not worthy even to be in a boat with you. Saints, there's times when you see who this God is and how much he loves you and you go, he's pursuing after you. And it led him to a sacrificial love. This is the sort of love it is. What do I mean a sacrificial love? That he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world. You. That he gave his only begotten son. He only had one son. God so loved you while you're yet a sinner. Are you unsaved in this meeting? God so loves you. God so loves you.
Yeah, amen.
That he sent his son to die on the cross. He's not waiting saying, well, I'll only love you if you get saved. He says, I loved you while you're a sinner. I loved you when you're lost. You see, this love actually moved the Father to send his only begotten son. He actually gave. The Father gave his only son and made provision for every sinner. It says in Romans chapter 8, 32, he that spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all good things? Since he didn't spare his son. He could have invented another way, created another way of salvation. But he didn't. He actually seen a sinner sin. He loved a sinner sin. And he said, I'll give my son for you. Not just for the world, for you. I give my son for you. I so love you. Since real love is sacrificial. Now hear me. Real love, not human love, God's love is sacrificial. You will give your best. You will give all that you have. You will give the utmost of everything you are. You will literally lay down your life. That is true love. Anything else isn't God's love or isn't the love of the Bible. It's also a saving love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him. Sorry, I missed one. Reliable love. Let me go back a step. It's a reliable love. That whosoever believeth in him. It's a reliable love. In other words, this love says if you believe, If you believe on me, you shall be saved. It's reliable. Do you know you can trust this love? There's a love out there in this world. Oh, I'm going to love you forever. Anyone say that to you? Oh, I'll never love anybody else. And they betrayed you. I tell you, that's the love of this world, but that's not the love of God. Don't compare it with the love of God. You know what God's love is? It's reliable in its scope. It can be trusted in its depths. He said that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. It's a reliable love if you believe in him. If you believe in what he's done, you can stake your eternity upon it. You don't need to fear. Notice he says whosoever. Does anybody want to come? You can absolutely rely on me. Is Christ preaching? Man, what a sermon he preached that day. He said, I have a love that's reliable. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. It is a reliable, steadfast love that you can trust in. Notice that it's for everyone. There's provision for all. It's reliable. Whosoever. Ah, only the elect can come. No, the Bible doesn't teach that. It says whosoever. Who is whosoever? Who is this man? Who is this individual? You. I don't know a person in this city excluded. I don't know a person in the entire island. Do you know there's many in Ireland haven't heard this? Do you know there's many in this city have not heard this, but it is actually for them. What are you going to do if you get a letter through your door? For Patrick Murphy or somebody else, it's got their name on it. And the letter is theirs. You don't open it. You don't have a right to open it. And it's got their name. Do you know what you think? I better give it back to the postman to give it to Patrick Murphy. This is his letter. This has got a message for him. It's got his name on it. Do you know what? Every sinner you meet, you ought to be saying, I've got a letter for you. And your name is in here. My name. Yes, your name. John 3:16. Whosoever will. That's you.
That's right.
If you will, you can rely on his love, on his forgiveness, on his mercy. He'll keep you. He'll preserve you. He'll love you all your days. No man in this city will love your soul like that. No woman will love you like that. But God's love is a reliable love. It's also a saving love. Should not perish. It's a saving love. What's it going to save you from? From perishing. This verse actually reveals that without this love, without Christ dying on the cross, you would actually perish without that. It reveals man's lost condition, or it reveals future punishment. Nicodemus, if you do not believe in Christ, you will perish. But if you believe in him, it's a saving love. It'll save you from your sin. It'll save you from hell. It'll save you from this world. Do you know what? This world is going to perish. Your house is going to perish. Your clothes are going to perish. Your family relationships are going to perish. Your job is going to perish. Your ambitions may perish. Lots in this world is going to perish. You know, there's some friends you love to be. Well, I want to go and drink and be with the guys. Your mates are going to end up in hell if they don't find this salvation. You won't be partying with them in hell. You will be utterly alone in hell. What is hell? Oh, you're there with all the demons. No, you won't see a demon there. You won't see another sinner there. Do you know in hell, you'll be locked in on yourself. Going, I was so close. So very close. And yet so very far away. This scripture actually reveals that God so loves the world. He doesn't want them to perish. What does it say in the Old Testament? He has no delight in the death of the wicked. It is his will, it says in the New Testament, that all men everywhere repent and turn to Jesus Christ. This is the will of God, your salvation. What more is Christ to do? He sent his son to die. Oh, what love! For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, they shall not perish, but they shall have everlasting life. That means it's a given love. He gives you eternal life. Saints, what a remarkable verse. Divine love, immeasurable love, unconditional love, sacrificial love, reliable love, saving faith. Or sorry, save and love. And it's a giving love. Do you know there is another whosoever in the Bible? Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Whosoever. But there's another whosoever in Revelation 20 verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Do you know we're going to fit into one of those groups? The whosoever who believeth, or the whosoever who can't be found in the book. See, on that day of judgment, is your name going to be found in the Lamb's book of life? Is your name going to be found there? Because we're going to find the Lord reading the names, and he says, whosoever name is not written in the book, you will be cast into hell. If you're not in the book, if your name is not written there, if the testimony isn't there, that you're saved, born again, you will perish and be cast into the lake of fire. Saints, let me bring you to something here. God's love in the second birth. Do you realize for a man or a woman to get born again, it's God's love revealed to them. It is God's love saying, come and believe in me. I died for you. I love you. You can trust me. I care about you. I want you to come and be born again. You know, God doesn't just say, be born again. It's your problem. You're going to have to fight through your sin. You're going to have to fight off the world. You're going to have to wrestle with the devil. And I'm going to stand there waiting to see if you make it. Oh no, that's not the gospel. He says, you must be born again. What am I to do? Look to Calvary. Look to the cross. I loved you. I gave everything for you. I care about your eternal soul. Saints, this verse has saved vast multitudes in every generation and in every nation. Many people who have heard John 3:16 preached, as it was being preached, their hearts opened up and their hearts were touched by the love of God. And they've seen that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And they've seen that there is a soul within them that is either going to be eternally rewarded or eternally perished. And they see that when God sent his son to die on the cross, he was saying, I love you. How do you know God loves you? He sent his son to die on the cross. Oh, I don't feel God loves me. Who said we're to feel it? Can you find a verse in the Bible? Oh, you wake up in the morning, I don't feel you. Have you left me? Where do you find that in the Bible? Saints, the Bible says, I so loved you that I gave my son to die. What more do you want me to do? What more do I have to do for you to prove to you that I love you? Do you think love is a feeling? Love is a whole lot more than a feeling. Oh, you can feel it. I've felt it at times, but not all the time. When I woke up this morning, I didn't say, now you need to tell me you love me, or do you still love me? I don't feel loved. Hey, she made me a cup of tea this morning. She was there this morning. She drove that car this morning. Saints, God so loved you. God so, you know, some people are like, he loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. Their love go, their feelings go up and down. God's with me. No, he's not. Yes, he is. No, he's not. God hates me. Now he loves me. As they roller coaster through their week, the ups and downs, the flesh, sin, this world, and they go on a roller coaster, and at the end, I'm telling you, they look like they've been on a roller coaster, I assure you. They're glad just to get to the end. Saints, his love is greater than that. Look to the cross. God so loved you. And when you see this, you know, I'm born again. I tell you, there's power in John 3:16 to birth from above. To change your heart, to give you an encounter with Christ, to save the worst sinner in this city. I tell you, go to the worst in this city. Go to the religious. We need to win Catholic priests in this city to Christ. And prostitutes and heroin addicts and atheists, they're all in this city. We go to them and say, God loves you. I don't believe that. Doesn't matter. Doesn't change his love. He even loves the atheist. I don't believe in God. He still loves you. Because he sent his son to die for you. I know a lot of atheists that got saved along the way. Said, I don't believe in God. Never would believe in God. They do today. They absolutely do today. They're in no doubts when you encounter him. But saints, listen. It says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. What is the basis of our love for God? He loved me first. He loved me first. That's why I love him. Why do you love him? Because it's some great thing. Maybe you can earn God's love by loving him. No, his love comes first. That's what changed your life. That's why you keep the command. Why do I obey the Bible? Because he loved me. How do you know you love God? You keep his commandments. Why do I love him? Why would I keep the commandments? Why would I come out from the world? Why would I repent of my sin? Why? Because he loved me. God so loved me first. We love him because he first loved us. God loved you. God loved you first. This is the basis of a changed life. This is the foundation of a man being changed. Listen, God's love is the source of true Christian experience. That's a powerful statement. God's love is the source, the foundation, the cause of our Christian experience. You are what you worship. Hear me. If you worship Allah, you will be like Allah. If you believe Allah wants you to kill, you will have the nature of Allah. There's no love in Allah. There is in Christ. There is in our God. There is God in my love. When I believe what I'm preaching to you this morning, since it affects my entire heart and life, I believe this morning, that God so loved me when I'm a wretched sinner, when I don't deserve his love. Do you know what? That affects my character and that nature within me. The new birth produces love. When a man gets born again, his nature changes. God's character, God's nature is love. God is love. His character is love. He can't be anything else. But when we get born again, our character then becomes love. Love comes into us. Our hearts change. This new love is the necessary result of the new birth. When you get born again, when you get saved, when that wind blows on you, you actually have a new love in you you never had before. Since this is real in the world outside of Christ, so you can show affection. Oh, I love those who love me. That's natural love. Oh, as a mother, you love your child. That's not the love we're talking about here. There is another love. Now, when you get born again, this love shown in Christ down on the cross comes into you. Saints, listen to me. The great mark of someone being born again is that they love others. And now I want to preach to you here for a few moments before we close on this. It says in John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. How do you know a real Christian? By the miracles? No. False prophets do miracles. By the crowds? Does that reveal we're real Christians? No, it doesn't. Multitudes will follow false teachers. How do you know real Christians are real church? By their love. Not by their lights. Not by their worship. Not by their gimmicks. Not by their social activities. Not by feeding the poor. It is actually when you see love amongst them. By this, and this is Christ speaking here. By this shall all men know that you're my disciple. How are you known as a disciple? You love other Christians in the church. If you don't love the people in this room, you're not born again. Because the first great mark of a born again Christian is that they will love their brothers. They love those around them. It is a same love as Christ on the cross in John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now notice this, it's talking about our love for one another. How do you know you're born again? You love the brethren. You actually have the same love as Jesus within you. I'm telling you what it means to be born again. I met some people who say, I'm born again. I can remember on June the 23rd, such and such a year, I got born again. I was an alcoholic. I was a curser. Oh, you should have seen what I done in the world. I slept with every girl, but I'm born again. Do you love your brother? Do you love your brothers and your sisters? That's what the Bible says. Oh, well, look, I got delivered from this. From my heroin. Do you love your brother? I've met a lot of Christians in the church, you know. They never get drunk. They never stick a needle in their arm. They never curse the eye ever heard them. But they're bitter. They're unforgiven. They're jealous. They're angry. They're divisive. They cause trouble everywhere they go. What am I telling you? The first great mark of the born again Christian. Do you love your brother? How do I know? It says greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. Huh? What sort of love are we talking about? That I have the love of God. I'm born again. There's a love in me that says I want to lay down my life for you. Not because you're my church, because you're not my church. I'm simply a preacher. But there's a love in me because you're my brother and you're my sister. There's an actual love that come to me. When I was born again, my heart changes and I say I would lay down my life for someone else. You know what that means? It's not selfish. Real love is not selfish. It's not self-centered. It's not fixated with our own actions, abilities, ministries, reputations, or success. Saints, I would not love you if I was absolutely captivated by my own ministry or preaching. If I said this whole church has to revolve around me, I would be selfish. There would be no love in that. There's got to be a love that says, I would die for you, the sheep. I would actually put myself in danger. I'll go through sleepless nights. I will go through dark trials. But as long as you're okay, that's all I care about. I will actually suffer loss so that you suffer gain. I'll go through pain that you don't need to suffer. I will go through dark nights of despair just so you can get lifted out of your trial. And that's what real love in the church is. I would lay down my life. I'll pray for you when you're in trouble. I'll pray for you when you're struggling. We're talking about a life laid down for others. Because I tell you, if it's not that sort of love, you are selfish. Everything's about me. Saints, we need to understand the great mark of a Christian is that they see more than themselves. If all you are is an individual in this church, well, there's the church, I'm an individual. And I can live my Christianity without the body of Christ. Do you know what? At best, you're very immature and a babe in Christ. That's all you are. See, as you grow in Christ and this love grows in you, you see the entire body. You go, it's not about me, not about my ministry, not about my knowledge. It's actually about the entire body. It's about my friends. I actually don't just pray for myself, I pray for my brother. Yeah. It's not, God use me in revival. Yeah. It's God use Mary in revival. Yeah. That is love. If all of our prayers are directed towards herself, and we're not going, I want everyone. God, I'm not saying, oh God, you've got to use me. I want God to use you. Right. Do you realize that's love? That begins to reveal the true love of Jesus Christ. Now go with me to 1 John chapter 3. Powerful verses on this. It says in 1 John 3 and 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. How do you know that you've gone from death to life? How do you know? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. Notice the contrast here between love and hatred, life and death. If you have hatred within you, you don't have the love of God. If you have hatred in you, you don't have life. You're not born again. If you hate your brother, if you tolerate hatred in your heart, that's a strong emotion.
Yeah.
Then you do not love your brother, and it proves you're not born again. It actually goes further in saying that hatred is of the devil, of the evil one. Notice here that in 1 John 3, murder is defined. You are a murderer. See, when men define sin, go on that street and say, do you think you're a sinner, a bad person? Many people say, I'm pretty good. Why do you think you're pretty good? Do you think you're a sinner? Well, we all sin. But you know, I do this and I do that and I try to be nice and do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. I'm pretty good. I'm a good guy. Let me define sin. Let me define what good is or righteous is. Let me define what the love of God is. Well, the Bible actually defines here what is murder. It says if you're angry in your heart towards your brother, you are a murderer. It's like you've literally killed somebody and you're standing over their body. That's what the Bible says. You are an actual murderer in heart, in condition. Do you know when you're born again, it changes your character. There is a love that comes into you that you say, I'll die. Only for my friends though. What sort of love is God's love in the cross? Oh, he only died for those who loved him. He only laid down his life in love for those who really had a regard for him. He didn't die for those who cursed him, or hated him, or got angry, or falsely accused him. What sort of love do you have in you this morning? Can I ask you, what kind of love do you operate in? Do you operate in the love of your flesh? The love of the law. Do you know what the love of the law is? You bless me, I'll bless you.
Yeah.
You're a Jew. You're a legalist. You're under law. Now, if you really love me, man, I'll smother you with kisses and I'll hug you and I'll cry a tear and I'll say, oh, brother, I love you. Why? Because you love me. But let me punch you in the face. Let me curse you or lie or fail you or hurt you. Then I'm going to find out what sort of love is in this people. I'm going to find out, do you really love me? You see, you can love people, but let them hate you. And believe me, words can be far worse than a fist, can't they? Just let somebody say, is there anybody who you hate in this world? This is a powerful scripture in 1 John 3. He's actually talking about a changed life. We know that we have passed from death unto life. Past is an experience. We have passed. I used to be in death. I used to be angry. Now I'm in a new life. I have changed. Something happened to me. What was it? I got born again. Once I was in death. What does death look like? You've got hatred in your heart. You've got bitter, unforgiveness, jealousy, venom. Oh, I'm very righteous. I've got righteous indignation. They do that to me, I'll do that to them. I've got a sense of right and wrong. That's not love. That's not love. Brilliant, you're righteous. But an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, what's the consequence? Everybody's eyeless and toothless. We'd be a bunch of eyeless, we'd be blind and toothless in here. Since that is law, it's not the love of God. Anyone who's met with Christ at the cross, you go, man, I didn't deserve this. I should be lost in eternal hell. There's got to be some of that love brought into our Christian life where we go, it's not about me. It's about everyone else. I want to lay down my life. Man, if I could, I would lay down my life that you could go through with God. One mark of the new life is to love. That is the mark of a new life. How do you know you passed from death to life? How do you know you passed? Something's happened to you. An experience has taken place. How do you know? You love. This is the great mark of the real Christian. Hereby we perceive the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Not like in verse 12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one who slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do you get annoyed at someone who does righteousness? You actually sit there and you go, they are doing right. If you were asked, are they doing what the Bible says? Why are you irritated with them? Why do you get annoyed with someone who does what is right? Do you know what that reveals? There's something wrong with you.
Yes.
There's something wrong with you. They're doing what's right. Well, why are you annoyed with them? Are you jealous? Are you bitter? Are you envious? What's wrong with you? Why are you there going, man, don't you delight that others are blessed? Don't you delight that God would use someone else and maybe bypass you? Don't you rejoice in that? The love of God does. Boy, we're coming down to what is the love of the natural man, the first birth. Hear me. There is a love that is in that first man, the first birth, the natural birth. But there's a love that's in the second birth. It's only in the second birth. It's radically different. It's two different kinds of life. And it defines what is the love of that first birth and what is the love of that second birth. It's a love that lays down its life. Go with me to chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. God is the source of love. This kind of love, it doesn't have its source anywhere else. It's not natural. Oh, well, I just love everybody. I'm a sort of person who likes everybody, loves everybody. That's not God's love. Do you know love can get angry? Love can say, I'm not going to sit with you. Love could go into the temple in Jerusalem and throw over tables and whip people. That was love. You better be very careful. Oh, I'm just a soft, lovey-dovey snowflake. I'm mushy. I love everybody. You better be careful. That is love.
Yes.
You could think you're being loving. That's not love. Love would tell you to say something or say that's wrong.
Yeah.
To keep your mouth quiet and just accept everybody. That is not love.
Yeah.
Love actually says, you're wrong. You know, there's one person in this room I love more than anyone else. And that particular individual who will remain nameless. I've probably said more straight things to her than any of you in this room. Why? I love her more than you. And I go, no, that's not right. That's love. Why? Because I care. Do you know, people have gone out of this church and said, there's no love in that church. Why, did I beat you up around the corner? Did I steal something from your handbag? Did I trip you up down the steps as you walked out? Did I tell lies about you? Do you know what it usually is? You just preach the truth, say, this is what the Bible says. They have no love in there. Do you know, I've got friends in nations all over the world, they all say the same. You speak to a pastor in a church, any preacher, anyone who's been in ministry for years, and they'll say, man, I done everything for them, and they left. Do you know, here in this church, we pay people's bills, and they're the first out the door cursing us, lying about us.
Yes.
Paid their bills.
Yeah.
We helped them. Yeah. And you go, bye-bye, not even a goodbye. Oh, well. Do you know that happens thousands of times? You can love them, you can care for them, they walk out and say, huh, they have no love. What do you want me to do? Bleed?
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? Give you all my money? Since we're talking about a real love, God is love. Love is of God. But God defines what love is. Oh, I know what love is. No, not your love. God's love. God defines what love is, what it looks like and how it acts. A year ago we preached on 1 Corinthians 13. Go back to it again. And we give all those 14 marks of love in two messages. We explained what love is. We need to understand love, what it looks like. Notice what it says in 1 John 4, 7. And everyone that loveth is born of God. If you love like this, you're born of God. It's one of the great marks. And if you don't have this love, you're not born again. If you're happy to stay in a state, and I'm not saying, who hasn't got angry and we shouldn't have here? I have. We all have. But since it's talking about for someone to say, I'm right and persist in it, that shows the love of God is not in them. They're not born of God. And knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Saints, here this morning, if you're born again, love one another. Let that be the mark of this church. Hey, do you know that church? They're a born again church. How do you know? They love one another. Hey, do you know? He is born again. What are you talking about? What does born again mean? Well, he's one of those guys who loves you no matter what. You can curse him, shout at him, spit in his face. He just loves you. The guy's crazy. I tell you what, I think he's doo-doo in the head. But man, I tell you what, he's different than us bunch. Yeah. Saints, I'm telling you, this is the mark of a real born again Christian. And it's manifested and it's revealed for others to see. Your love has to be tested. You have to be tried. A love within you that's not tested is not true love. The love between me and Candace has been tested. Pressures have come. Every manner of pressure. Lie, trial, time of darkness, everything. Do you know what? It strengthens that love. And that love, if you're born again, the love of God is within you. It's real. Saints, this is what it means to be born again. I don't care if you curse me, you lie on me, you hurt me, you steal from me. I don't care if you take friends away from me. I don't care if you turn people against me. I love you. I really love you. Doesn't mean I don't speak the truth or do what the Bible says. But you know what? You can do anything to me. And it may take a bit of prayer. And I may turn to Ken and say, man, I want to throttle him. And I get home. I know none of yous are like that. Yous are all spiritual. And I have to get home and go up alone, get away from Ken and say, oh God, help me. He says, bless those who despitefully use you and curse you. Pray for them. Lord, will you bless them through gritted teeth? Oh God, will you bless them? You start praying like that in 5 minutes, in 10 minutes, and the next day, you're going, oh God, please. Because where would I be if you treated me any differently? Yeah. Lord, I know they've done me wrong. I know it's not right. But will you bless them? Yeah. Will you help them? Will you bring them through? Why would I do that? I'm a Christian. Yeah. I'm born again. I'm not talking about mature Christianity. I'm just saying, I'm saved by God's grace. Yeah. And this is the love that touched me when I got born again. And now it's in me. Saints, it's not natural for me to say what I'm saying. And it's only because I went through such trials of men despitefully using me that I can stand here and say, Lord, bless them. There's a man in this world done me more damage than any man in my entire life. If I told you, I'd be shocked if you've had anyone do as bad of things as this man. And Candace is a witness. I've never once, not from the day he started to harm me, not once have I had bitterness or jealousy or anger or resentment. Not once. Now I have with other people. But his was so bad. It took a supernatural manifestation of this. It was so bad it could have destroyed me. And God so manifested his love that not for 1 second since 2005 have I had a thought or a feeling or an attitude I've had a struggle with. You know what? I just love him. He's wrong. He's in sin. He's in danger if he dies like this. But you know what? I love him. I couldn't have made my heart like that. That is a miracle of God's grace. That out of this heart of mine, it's not a fleshly, legalistic love that says, I'll only love you if you love me. And if you do me wrong, I'll hate you. I'll get bitter with you. I'll do you damage. I'll speak against you. Saints, I've seen a lot of it in the church.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's rotten. It's from the evil one. It's of Cain. And what did Cain do? Yeah. He slew his brother. Why? He had hatred in his heart. He was of the devil. Please stand with me here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, my God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.